The high desert of far southeastern Oregon is not a place of many people, but it's a place of many concerns for the care of the land. The Bureau of Land Management controls large portions of the landscape, and BLM's Southeastern Oregon Resource Management Plan is in the midst of an amendment process to make adjustments to approaches on areas like wilderness, off-highway vehicle use, and grazing. A comment period on the plan amendment is now open, but not for much longer. The comment period's 90 days are up next week on August 28th. Let's hear what there is to comment on from the BLM. Three guests join us. Brent Grasty is the BLM Vail District Planner. Welcome, Brent.
Thanks very much.
Pat Ryan on the same conference call, BLM's Malheur Field Manager. Hi, Pat.
Good morning.
And Renee Straub is with us as well, the Assistant Field Manager for BLM Malheur District. Thanks for joining us, Renee.
Good morning.
So you guys can figure out among yourselves who the best person to answer each question, but the big picture first, how big an area is covered by the Southeastern Oregon Resource Management Plan?
Right. So the Southeastern Oregon Resource Management Plan includes covers the Malheur Field Office, which Pat's the manager, and it abuts Idaho and Nevada. It's 4.5 million acres of public land. And that's what this RMP amendment is all about.
So what are some of the major features of this 4.5 million acres of land? There are some fairly sensitive areas in there, but some areas that people seem to treasure.
Absolutely. The bigger landscape includes the Oregon part of the Owyhee River, including some of the one major tributary, the West Little Owyhee. In that, there's about 130 miles of designated wild and scenic river. It also includes a really cool area in the southwest corner of the field office, the Trout Creek and Oregon Canyon Mountains, higher elevations up to around 9,000 feet. We share with the Burns District to the west the Sheepsheads Mountains, and in the northwest, it's more of a mixture of public land, private land, and state land, but includes Castle Rock, which is an important landmark and important to the tribal interests in the area.
So, Brent, give us some history here. Over the last few decades, have the uses of the land changed quite a bit?
So, uses not a great deal. More so, it's been the challenges that BLM's been faced with increasing fire extent and severity, increasing frequency. We've got a couple of significant challenges in particular with invasive species, vegetation, and with juniper encroachment. Those vary across the landscape, higher juniper concentrations in the north end and in the east middle, edged with Idaho. Generally, the one major change, of course, that we're seeing is increased use by people and the increased interest in motorized activities, which is, as you mentioned at the intro, includes some of the one of the issues we're addressing in this plan for off-highway vehicle use, motorized use in particular.
How often generally are the plans updated, the resource management plans?
We typically say these are 20-year plans. In our case, the current Southeastern Oregon Resource Management Plan was finalized through a record of decision in 2002. But since then, most listeners would recognize that there's been a lot of priority focus over the last 5 years on sagebrush landscapes. In particular, folk would know that we went through a plan amendment for all four of the Southeastern Oregon BLM districts, Primeville, Burns, Lakeview, and Vail, for greater sage grouse. So that was a 3-4 year period where we concentrated a lot of effort in working with the public to identify future management that would ensure or at least support maintenance of good quality habitat and improve those that are not so good.
We're talking with the BLM about amendments to the Southeastern Oregon Resource Management Plan with Brent Grasty, BLM's Vail District Planner. We also have Pat Ryan, the Malheur Field Manager, and Renee Straub, the Assistant Field Manager for the Malheur area. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Brent, we're not talking about updating the entire plan at this point, though. It's just one section and one area, right?
Yeah, I appreciate both your intro on the three primary issues we're amending. And just a little bit of background, when we completed the 2002 plan, it was appealed by the public, and that led to a court case. And the outcome of that were settlement negotiations with the appellants. And we're amending this as a part of the commitments the BLM made for that settlement agreement. And namely, it's four categories of things that we're addressing. The first requirement was that we updated an inventory. You mentioned in the intro that wilderness-like, we refer to those as wilderness characteristics. And what those are, they are not wilderness. The Malheur Field Office, the Southeastern Oregon Planning Area, does not have any wilderness, designated wilderness. We do have about a quarter of the public lands, 1.3 million acres, that are designated wilderness study areas. And those came about through an inventory update in the 70s and 80s, where Congress required that we inventory lands for features that meet the criteria of wilderness. And those are, it's got to be of adequate size, generally over 5,000 acres, natural, that is, not a great deal of development occurring in the landscape, and then opportunities for the public to experience solitude or primitive recreation, no developed recreation facilities, for example. And that original inventory led to, in 1991, the Oregon Wilderness Study Report, which gave to Congress the decision with BLM's recommendations on what to do with these wilderness study areas, whether to designate them as wilderness or release them from wilderness study area interim management. The other, so we were required in the settlement agreement to update our inventory outside of those WSAs. We completed that in 2012. BLM found that outside of those WSAs, again, there were an additional 1.2 million acres of lands that met those four criteria. Again, size, naturalness, solitude, and opportunities for primitive recreation. The first requirement of the settlement agreement is BLM completes that inventory and then initiates, secondly, a resource management plan amendment and environmental impact statement, which requires BLM under the National Environmental Policy Act to develop alternatives and provide those to the public in draft form, which is, as you mentioned, we're nearing the end of our comment period that we're looking for input from the public on those alternatives and the actions we propose. So we have a range of alternatives that identifies which and in what manner wilderness characteristics would or would not be maintained as a priority. The other issues the settlement agreement commitments included were we needed to relook at our land use planning level, so across the entire landscape of that 4.6 million acres, alternatives for OHV management. For us, that policy requires us to look at alternatives that for open to cross-country travel of motorized vehicles, limited to existing or designated primitive routes and developed routes, constructed routes. And in Southeastern Oregon, those of you who know the country, our road network is gravel roads that are maintained are a high-quality road, three-season at least, some four-season, but it's so weather-dependent. That primary route network is pretty limited. And the rest of our routes are we refer to as primitive routes, but two tracks, undeveloped, not much construction, if any, over the years, to get across the landscape. And then the last category is closed. The final set of commitments the BLM made had to do with, as you mentioned, grazing. And it's a very limited scope that we're addressing in this. Two issues. There is a process where a grazing permittee, can independently determine that he wants to relinquish his grazing permit. The settlement agreement required the BLM to look at a couple of alternatives that said they looked at different ways to process how a relinquished permit would be managed in the future. And there are some sideboards the settlement agreement required. And then the last issue, the last grazing issue is BLM assesses our land health, vegetative health, by a process called rangeland health assessments. And the settlement agreement required BLM to analyze alternatives that said, if BLM does our assessments and determines that one of the five criteria, for example, those are riparian criteria for riparian health, upland vegetation, it includes special status species, like listed species under the Endangered Species Act. If we determine that we are not meeting standards and it's due to permitted current livestock grazing, then we address in our alternatives how we would process grazing. And the settlement agreement specifically requires that the reader of our draft would see these in alternatives B as in Baker and D as in Doyle of the five, and where BLM would look at the assessment, and if we're not meeting due to current livestock grazing, would reduce grazing in those permitted areas.
So is the
summary is mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
So is the preferred alternative either B or D?
It is not. The National Environmental Policy Act requires BLM to look at a no action. So that alternative stands alone as current management would continue under the settlement agreement. BLM identified as the preferred alternative, alternative A, which would use this environmental impact statement and draft RMP to, and then as the decision is reached later this year, early next year, we would continue management under the 2002 RMP as amended by the 2015 Sage-Grouse Amendment, but without the settlement agreement. So the requirements to maintain our current wilderness characteristic units outside of WSAs under the settlement agreement would be removed, and we would move forward under the 2002 RMP.
All right, let me remind listeners, we're talking to Brent Grasty at the BLM. He's the Vail District Planner, about the Southeastern Oregon Resource Management Plan, which is up for amendment, and a draft EIS up for public comment between now and August 28th. We will be talking to the Oregon Natural Desert Association about why it appealed this plan in the first place tomorrow at this time. Brent, how many staffers assigned to the plan amendments? It's got to be somebody other than you.
Yep, it's a quite an extensive group. What a reader will find in Chapter 3, Section 3.8, is resource by resource. So we look at wildlife, sensitive species or listed species, invasive plants, invasive aquatics, minerals, mining opportunities, geology, archaeology. And for each of those programs, there's at least one interdisciplinary team member that's assigned to provide their input, both in the development of the alternatives with management review and approval, and in analyzing for each of those alternatives what the impacts would be to their resource.
All right. So the comment period, as we mentioned, has been open since May 31st. Actually, I don't think I mentioned that specifically, but it is a 90-day comment period closing next week. So are you getting lots of comments so far?
So we did host three public meetings in Ontario, McDermott, Nevada, right on the border, and Jordan Valley, Oregon, in late June. We got some comments there. There have been a number of comments received that are generally from organizations that are that we've been cataloging and storing and preparing to respond to those comments. And as kind of to be expected, people needed time to look at a big document and really consume it and get a sense of their what their comments and response and would be to the proposed plan and the various alternatives. And so it's increasing. They're starting to come in pretty strongly now. You know, we expect a lot of interest in this plan over the last decade. Certainly this planning area with such really impressive landscapes of interest to hunters, rafters. The Owyhee River is a major rafting draw in the high float season. So we expect a lot of interest in this, and it's really just starting to accelerate now. And we anticipate a lot of good comments and hopefully some suggestions on what's worked, what folk and why is it. The most important message that I think BLM would like to have is for the public to take a look at the plan, the proposed action, and the alternatives, and get feedback on not only why an interested party prefers a set of actions or an alternative or parts of an alternative, but why, so that we can have something truly useful to shape what Pat and our district manager, Don Gonzalez, will lead them toward a good, balanced decision in the final decision.
All right, so substantive comments, more than just I don't like it, but give the why, give the groundwork for that.
Really important to have that. Opinions are important to us as well, but we need information that helps us shape the eventual proposed action in the next step, the final EIS.
Brent, we have about a minute here. Once the comment period closes on August 28th, what next? What's the timeline for the decision-making process beyond that?
Yeah, I really appreciate that that question. Under NEPA, the process is very laid out. We complete our draft EIS. We go through a response process and document those and then make modifications to the draft to create a final EIS with an additional alternative that will be our proposed action. And from that, it'll go out to the public for a protest period. It's quite short, 30 days, and then including a 60-day review by the governor's office for consistency with, for example, Oregon's land use goals. And then after that, and any protests are resolved, we'll move forward to a record of decision. And our tentative schedule for those two, the final late this year and early next year, first quarter next year, is the hope to produce to publish the ROD, the record of decision.
Okay.
And so people know, these will be announced in the Federal Register. We'll do press releases. We will continue to engage anyone that's interested in receiving notices on this, and happy to take questions from any of us or any of the resource specialists.
Okay. Southeastern Oregon Resource Management Plan now coming to the close of a comment period next week on the draft plan amendment and draft EIS. Brent Grasty's BLM's Vail District Planner. Pat Ryan and Renee Straub, thank you as well.